You're listening to SBS News.
Synchronising body percussion with the rhythms of traditional drums, members of Suara Indonesia Dance rehearse for an upcoming performance. But the past 2 years of COVID lockdowns and border closures have taken their toll. The group's choreographer Murtala, along with founder and artistic director Alfira O'Sullivan, were forced to find other jobs once the touring revenue they depend on disappeared.
We got offered to work in the movie project, so we just said yes, we just need some income.
We haven't seen that kind of money in about 2 years since our last tour, so we couldn't really refuse this kind of opportunity.
Live music was another COVID casualty. Craig Peterson, the owner of Lazy Bones Lounge, a venue in Sydney's Inner West, says many performers lost confidence after authorities deemed their activities non-essential.
Those words has been devastating for the arts and live music scene, because you know you dedicate your life to something so beautiful, and then you've got these bloody bureaucrats telling you that you're non-essential. How do you recover from that?
Mr. Peterson says he and many others in the industry are treading water.
If you're in live music at the moment, it's not about the money. It's about survival. And it's about your moral compass coming into play, where you're doing it for the sheer passion of the arts.
Mental Health and Crisis Relief Organisation Support Act works with struggling musicians and music crew. CEO Clive Miller says demand for its services has skyrocketed since the pandemic began, as live performance opportunities evaporated almost overnight.
In the last couple of years, we've had a 300% increase in the number of people who have been accessing the Support Act Wellbeing Helpline. We have provided 16,000 grants in the last couple of years, crisis relief grants valued at more than $36 million.
As Australia navigates the COVID recovery phase, a question mark now hangs over those grants and whether the arts sector will be given access.
They're past, you know, the stage of wanting to be putting money into disaster kind of or relief programs in, as far as COVID is concerned.
In last year's budget, the federal government allocated nearly $300 million to revive the decimated arts industry. Penelope Benton from the National Association for the Visual Arts is calling on the government to go further by overhauling policy that will create a more resilient arts sector.
As we get closer to the federal election, I think this budget is a vital opportunity for the government to draw on the findings of their own inquiry into the arts. What we'd really like to see, what we're hopeful for, is for the government to invest ambitiously in the arts through a considered approach to long-term sustainability.
Cool. Can we get you at the top of the scene?
The show must go on, even when the curtain comes down on operational funding. Fraser Caulfield, Artistic Director for the Australian Theatre for Young People, is overseeing a rehearsal in the company's new theatre, overlooking Sydney's Walsh Bay. He says an already deteriorating situation was exacerbated by COVID-19.
ATYP was one of five leading youth theatre companies that was defunded by the Australia Council in 2020. So we were able to pick up support through the federal government's Ministry for the Arts for COVID recovery, but as of next year, there's nothing. And unless there's an investment in the performing arts, organisations like ATYP are going to have a really difficult time keeping their doors open.
Despite sounding the alarm, creative professionals say the pandemic has revealed a silver lining, giving people a deeper appreciation for the arts, embracing culture as a pillar of general well-being.
I think for many Australians, they see the arts and the performing arts as a luxury item. It's for the people that have the money that can afford to do it. But actually, there's a whole body of evidence that the performing arts is really good for us as people. It's good for our mental health and well-being. It's good for our community building. It connects us with other people. Stop isolating it and soloing it as something that's purely kind of creativity and self-expression, because actually there's a range of benefits that go far beyond that.
Suara Indonesia Dance says groups like theirs are often overlooked.
We are part of the landscape as well, so we add colour to this landscape. When this funding comes out and when it's available, like, it needs to also be accessible. In the past, it hasn't been that accessible. You know, it goes straight to the major arts bodies, and we've had to struggle to get a little bit of funding.
It's a battle worth fighting. Rochelle Harrison-Pless, SBS News.